This is the Business Review from KWBU and Baylor University's Handkammer School of Business. I'm CJ Jackson. This is one of a series of conversations with Dr. Charles North, Associate Professor of Economics, on issues he writes about with Bob Smetana in their new book, Good Intentions, 9 Hot Button Issues Viewed Through the Eyes of Faith. And you know, many Christians care about the environment, but what can Christians do to make a difference?
Well, your question really hits several levels. There's what can I do as an individual? And there are obvious things there, right? Don't pollute. Don't throw stuff out.
Is polluting a sin?
You know, people want to make it a sin. And certainly pollution isn't pleasant. But the question you asked me is it a sin? And I think it's really wrong to think of it that way, because most of the time when pollution happens, it's happening because it's a byproduct of something good that we're doing. You know, I want to have some electricity so that I can turn on my computer and log in. I need some electricity to be able to do that. And so I need a power plant that's going to generate my electricity, because it will certainly do it a lot more efficiently and a lot more cleanly. Now, the problem is they make electricity out of coal or natural gas. They're going to be burning those things. But they're not in the business of making pollution just to make pollution. They are in the business of selling me electricity. So it's best to think of pollution as a byproduct of producing things that we want, including some things that we need, such as food. What you want to do is figure out what's the right level of pollution. Economists are kind of perverse about this. We think of it as the optimal level of pollution. That there is some level of pollution, now I'm going to lapse in my econ speak, some level of pollution where the marginal benefits are exactly equal to the marginal cost of the stuff produced, including the pollution costs. And what we don't necessarily know what that level is, but we do know it's not zero. The optimal level of pollution is not zero. And that's a really important message that needs to get out.
So what about are schemes like cap and trade good solutions for the environment?
The cap and trade system that was put into place in the 1990s, initially by the first Bush administration and carried forward by the Clinton administration, was really quite effective at getting rid of acid rain. They came up with a system that basically told the coal-burning power plants how much sulfur dioxide they could put out into the atmosphere. They gave them permits to pollute, and then allowed them to start selling them to each other. So what happened was, and this is what a cap-and-trade system is, you cap the amount of pollutants that are allowed, and then you allow them to trade their permits. What happens is the power plants that are able to most cheaply reduce their pollution levels will sell off permits for more than it costs them to reduce pollution. And they sell them to the people who it's very expensive for them to reduce their pollution. So you take one plant's permit and you give it, well, you sell it to another, and both of them turn out to be better off. The one that sold it makes a profit off the permit, and the other one saves money by being able to pollute at a lower price than it would cost them to get rid of the pollution. And in the end, you get the amount of pollution that the government asked for.
This is the Business Review from KWBU and Baylor University's Handkammer School of Business. To hear this and other past business reviews, visit kwbu.org or baylor.edu/business/radio. Or subscribe to our free podcast at the iTunes Music Store. I'm CJ Jackson. Tune in for the Business Review Thursday and Friday mornings on 103.3 FM.